Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
A Skolty expert shares his thoughts on the founding of Pella and what it means to be Dutch and an American today. Well, Professor, welcome to Pella.
Thank you.
And you're a Skolty scholar.
Yeah, I am.
Tell us a little bit of background about the man. I mean, a lot of people know, we have sort of a casual knowledge, and, you know, there are people in the community that know a lot, but for our listeners that don't know much about Skolty, tell us a little bit.
Well, Skolty is a Dutchman. He came from the Netherlands, and in the Netherlands he led a secession from the Reformed Church, which was the established church in the Netherlands. So he is in the Netherlands quite well known because he was one of the leaders and the most intellectual leader of the secession over there in 1834. And they know that he was the leader of the migration together with Albertus van Raalte, who founded Holland, Michigan, and then Henry P. Skolty, who founded Pella. So they are the two most famous names when it comes to the migration to America in the 19th century, and they are the most famous names when it comes to the secession of 1834. So both in church history and in the general history of the Netherlands and relations with the United States, these are two important names. And Skolty was the most intellectual one, and he went to Pella. But the most knowledge in the Netherlands, and maybe also in the United States, is about Michigan and about Holland and Grand Rapids, because that is the largest Dutch-American community in the nation. But Skolty, in a way, he had a smaller community, but he is in a way a more interesting figure because he was an intellectual, he was against the stream, he was an individualist, he was creative, he had his own theology, he had his own ideas, but he was also very much an entrepreneur. So he was a banker, he was the postman over here. He bought the land and he distributed the land. He was the schoolmaster, he was the minister, he was the banker. So he played all kinds of different roles, and he did that very well, I think.
So it's interesting to me, we as a country in the United States, we don't have a similar role model or somebody to think about like that, do we?
No. Of course, the United States they ruled over the Philippines and different other areas, but they didn't really go there to colonize it, and that's different in the Netherlands. So yeah, of course you have you have already Dutch people who go to the United States in the 16th and 17th century. The Dutchman founded New York, for example, New Amsterdam at that time. But it's interesting that those people went, and they went there for business reasons. But in the 19th century, of course, there were also economic arguments to leave the Netherlands, but there were also religious arguments, because people like Skolty and van Raalte, they had been persecuted, they were in jail, and that was something that struck the Americans, and the Americans more or less invited them, the American Presbyterians and people of the Reformed Church, come over, this is the land of the free. So, and then those people came, but they came under the leadership of these two ministers. So these ministers played a very important role. So the migration to the United States was, of course, not uncommon in the 19th century. The Italians, the Greeks, etc., they all went. But in the Netherlands, they often went as a group with a leader. And the leader, most of the time, was a minister. If you look at the migration from the Netherlands to the United States in the 19th century, you see that a large percentage were Orthodox Reformed people. Let's say about 10% in the Netherlands was Orthodox, but then 25% of the migrants was Orthodox. So way more Orthodox people went to the United States. And that's also the picture now, that those people who migrated to the United States were most, in the opinion of the Netherlands, were Orthodox people. And that's what you recognize when you come to Pella or Holland, Michigan. people from the Netherlands who now visit the United States are struck by the fact that these are such a religious places. Many churches, people go to church. Religion plays an important role, even more than in other places in the United States. And the Netherlands, of course, now is a secularized country. So people are amazed that this is still here. And
some people in Pella say we're like the real Holland and the Netherlands isn't like the Netherlands anymore.
That if people from Pella or Holland come to the Netherlands, they are surprised how secular the Netherlands is. That's true. So, but the people that migrated were, of course, then you have reason to migrate. They are very convinced of their opinions. So they were really ardent Reformed people. They were staunchly Reformed. And that's what they brought to these colonies. And that's what the colonies kept together. That's what bound them together. In the first decades, you see, the most important role in creating these communities is the church. That's what binds them together.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with George Haring, Dutch scholar. And so when you look at Schulte, and when the people from the Netherlands look at Schulte, does that provide an opportunity for you to examine your own history and how you've changed and maybe what drove people from the Netherlands? Is this somehow a glimpse at the past soul of the Netherlands?
Yeah, well, that's one of the that's one approach, but the approach that's now more dominant is, I think, when those Dutchmen went to the United States, they went to another culture, to another country. How did they integrate? Because the issue of integration is a very hot issue in the Netherlands today. We have people from Turkey, from Morocco, etc., people with an Islamic background, and there is a debate in the Netherlands, should we tolerate them, and should we have a multi-diverse society, or shall we say, well, there is a leading culture in the Netherlands, in German, a Leitkultur, and shouldn't they adapt? Shouldn't they learn Dutch? Shouldn't they, etc.? And then it's interesting to see, what did the Dutchmen in the 19th century do when they came to the United States? Did they keep on speaking Dutch? Did they keep a distance to the American culture? And then you say, no, they didn't do that. They immediately adapted. And people like Schulte and Verhaalte said, you have to learn Dutch. And if you cannot learn Dutch, your children have to learn Dutch. And you have to become an American. You have to apply for the citizenship, etc. Of course, you may appreciate and still foster Dutch culture, but you become an American. And that's, of course, still a difference today. People who come to the United States, they come here because they want to become an American. And people who come to Europe, they want to earn money, maybe, but they don't want to become a Frenchman or a German or a Dutchman. No, they stay Turkish. They want to stay a Muslim, etc. So there is a tension in Europe and also in the Netherlands about this new influx of immigrants and refugees. What should we require from them? Adapt. And in Europe, you have to require that. In the United States, in general, the people who come here, they want to become an American. And that's not the case in Europe, so that's a problem.
It's a big problem.
Oh, yes.
What do you do with it while still being kind and compassionate and try to be welcoming and try to, you know, help solve world problems? Or do you just shut the door? I mean, it's just cruel. Do you see a solution in what Pella did?
Now, you see a solution in the fact that people like Schulte said to their people, adjust. So I would say in the Netherlands, you should also say to the leaders of the Moroccan community or the Turkish community or the Islamic community, it's fine that you're here and you're welcome. Our door is not shut, but you have to learn that we do the things in our way and you have to adapt if you want to integrate in our society. And of course, we don't want to take your Moroccan sympathies or your Islamic faith, that's not the issue. But you have to realize that it means something that you are in the Netherlands or that you are in Germany. And we do things in the German way or the Dutch way, and you have to adapt and see what the Americans, what the Dutchmen did in the United States.
But it wasn't that seamless of a transition. Of course, the Dutch language is still being spoken amongst some older people primarily.
Yeah.
But I have people, friends, that tell me in the 1960s, when Pellicor decided to open up leadership positions from people that weren't from Pella, they got a lot of blowback.
Yeah.
There was concern, even in the 1960s. Even people from Des Moines or Chicago, they weren't welcomed by some of the older people in the community. So it wasn't quite seamless here either.
No, that's true, but it's important. The direction is important. Scholter said you should adapt, and then still there are people who don't like that. Okay. We all like, of course, to live with people who are like us. And the Pella people had that idea, and they may have been a bit aloof or a bit parochial, but that has been broken up. But the general trend was not you should stay Dutch, but you should become an American. Now, and that's the problem in the Netherlands, that we have the feeling that people from Turkey, for example, they are in the first place a Turkish. And the Turkish government is now offering education in Turkish for people who live in the Netherlands, Turks. And we say, well, they should learn Dutch and they should speak Dutch and learn the Dutch culture and the Dutch history. Otherwise, you cannot live here. So, and that's also what Scholte and Veralti stress. You have to become Americans. You have to know American history. You have to be involved, as they were, in the Civil War. You have to choose sides. You are an American now.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with George Harink, Dutch scholar. We're having our own issues here in America, as you well know, regarding immigration.
Yeah.
But to me, America is an idea.
Yeah.
And so under an idea, not a particular culture per se, what is the idea of the Netherlands that people can rally around?
Well, that's a bit of the problem. So one of the debates relating to this refugee problem, etc., is who are we? Who are we? So what is Dutch, as a matter of fact? In the case of the United States, that's more or less easy. It's the land of the free, it's about freedom, and everywhere in the world, when you mention the name United States or America, people will relate it to that idea, freedom, democracy, etc. And everywhere in the world, you will find people who say, I would like to live there, I would like to go there. But in the case of the Netherlands, well, people come to the Netherlands not because of an idea of freedom, but because they can make money there. They are free from persecution or war, like in Syria or in Africa. But there is not a clear idea about what the Netherlands is and stands for. So we try to do that in Europe now, but everywhere in the world where you would talk about Europe, no one has an idea what Europe exactly stands for.
Well, I guess, I don't know if we want to trade in stereotypes or not, but my stereotypes, when I think of the Netherlands and I think of people of Dutch heritage, I think of industry and hard work and faith. I think of a certain set of core values are, to me, what it means to be Dutch, all positive things.
But they are all in discussion in the Netherlands because faith... most of the people don't go to church anymore. So it's about 25% that has a Christian affiliation. Only 25%. So people say, don't talk about this Christian tradition anymore. While elsewhere in the world, everyone relates the Netherlands to religion, to Calvinism, to being industrious and being faithful, etc. But in the Netherlands, they say, wow, our tradition is freedom, freedom of trade, freedom of opinion, tolerance, etc. These are those more general ideas. But other people in the Netherlands say, well, no, our tradition is related to our religion, to our faith, etc. But that's a discussion that's going on now. And what you see in the Dutch press is mainly confusion.
Well, and to me, part of the American vision, the idea is also faith, but it's the acceptance of other faiths.
Yeah.
I mean, this is asking a lot of you, but do you see a solution?
That's not that easy. So the point is, the people who say we should talk about our traditional values, the values you mentioned, like industry and faith, etc., those people are criticized because they are outdated, and that's the past, and that's parochial. And the other idea is the idea of cosmopolitanism. And well, then the people react, yeah, if you're a cosmopolitan, you can live anywhere or nowhere, but that doesn't define the typical Dutch culture. Because if you are a cosmopolitan, you can live anywhere. And we want to know what is Dutch. And the people that ask for a definition of what Dutch is, that group is growing larger and larger, and that has to do with the influx of the refugees, because the refugees confront the Dutch with the question, but who are we? What shall we ask from them? What do we require from them? And many people say, you shouldn't require anything. You just should welcome them. Yes, but we have our own traditions, and should we all put them aside then because we have strangers around now? No, we shouldn't do that. So there are politicians who say everyone should learn the national anthem, which in the opinion of an American may be strange, because Americans do learn the national anthem. But in the Netherlands, we don't learn that anymore. So people say now we should go back to the idea that we all have to learn the national anthem, and we should require from our refugees that they learn to speak Dutch. But that's new now. That's coming up. And people call that, let's say, right or right wing. But it's an answer to problems, because if you get that many people in from other countries, then you have to face the question, what kind of country are we? Who are we?
Thanks to George Harink for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.